Tes Tammuz, 22nd of June, Rabbi Zalman Roth. Was the Porah Adumo red?
Talk about the topic of what the color of the Porah Aduma was and try to see maybe there is more to be said beyond the literal translation. So, the mitzvah of Porah Aduma is Meforish in our parsha, but prior to talking about the color, I'd like to discuss whether the question of Porah Aduma is purely an intellectual exercise or maybe it's even a gaya lamaise, as we'll explain. And the passage starts, Ve'ikho lecho Porah Aduma Temima Asha'im Bamum Asha'la'ula Aleyu Ol. And the Torah goes on to explain the details of the Porah Aduma. On the face of it, it says quite clearly, Ve'ikho lecho Porah Aduma, a red cow Temima, which is complete in its redness, without any blemishes. This mitzvah is a mitzvah, part of the Taryak mitzvahs, and it's counted as such by the Sman and Eser Yashal and the Bais, by the Rambam and Eser Kifid Gimel and the Sefer Achilich and Mitzvah Shin Tzadik Zayin. Now, if we'd want to make today a Porah Aduma, let's put aside the question of the Beis HaMikdash. Purely to enable Kahanim, and any Kahanim amongst us here today?
Yeah.
Okay. So a Kohen can eat Bizman Azeh, Terumah and Challah. What stops us from eating Terumah and Challah is the fact that we're Tumay Maisim. But if we were able to have some Porah Aduma at the tire, a coin can eat Terumah and Challah. So what's stopping from the Kohanim here to eat Terumah and Challah purely Porah Aduma? So what would happen if you try to find such a cow and go through the process of Porah Aduma? But seemingly, a Porah Aduma b'zman hazeh is possibly impossible to make, potentially unnecessary, and quite possibly, we shouldn't be doing it at all. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Why do I say it's impossible? Because it's mefarish in the Mishnah, in Purim Parei Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, that the person who served the Purim, so the person whose job is to take the para and to burn it, and to prepare the ash, needs to himself go through the process of Taharas Porah Aduma prior to starting it. And not only that, the Rambam adds that we're so machmir with the Tahara of the person who is the serif, that the person selected to do on him the Tahara Sapura needs to be a person who was never tum in his life. Because if the person administrating the Porah Aduma Tahara on the new person to do the next Porah Aduma was ever tum, and the only way he became tum was by himself being purified by the Porah Aduma, perhaps that wasn't done correctly. Now the serif in his own right will never get tahor, and therefore the new Porah Aduma will be tum itself.
That was the first one.
Again,
the
Moshe Rabbeinu. But we'll machmir further to say that the person doing the administration of the Porah Aduma himself must be someone who has never tum in his life. So one thing is clear, that we have a shtickle vicious cycle here. Because we need to create a new Porah Aduma at some point in time. Mashiach will come to Avishav in today. And nevertheless, we need to have Afar Porah Aduma in order to be able to do so. So how's it going to go together? So this is the reason why it may be impossible to create a Porah Aduma as such.
What was Moshe Rabbeinu told me with the bones of Yosef?
That's a very good question.
But killing the mitzvah.
But we'll say that whatever happened prior to Matan Torah did not count.
Easy one. Quite easy.
And indeed, those who carried him afterwards, which the Gemara Sukkah has two opinions who they were, they were those who couldn't bring the Korban Pesach because they were tumah for that reason. Secondly, quite possibly, whether we can or can't, I know if the English sounds the same, can or can't, but it's can't or can, and perhaps we shouldn't, because the Rambam writes, in Parei Gimel Meches Purei Adimeh, that From the point of Moshe Rabbeinu until the end of Bayis Shani, there were 9 Pura Adimas made. One was done by Moshe himself, from this week's Parsha. The second was done by Ezra, in the beginning of Bayis Shani. A further 7 were done again in Bayis Shani until the Churban. And the Rambam doesn't list them, but the Mishnah in Parag Gimel does list the identity of those people, the Kohanim who did them, who made the Pura Adim. And the Rambam finishes off, Boaziris, and the 10th one, Yasa Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach will do it, Mahari Yigalim, may speedily be revealed, Umayin Kani Yudz. It's much more from the Rambam, that it is not meant to be done prior to Mashiach. And finally, quite possibly, it is not necessary. Because many Rishonim hold that the Afar Puru did not disappear with the Churban Bayis Shani. And it definitely existed during the time of the Tanum, and potentially till the times of the Amoraim. This is Mashma Kamad Beferish in the Gemur in the Bavli, Echem Dab Kivzayin, the Gabi Amir Rav Asi, who has said earlier they did eat Tirmeh and Chale after the Churban, many generations they were Amoraim. And Igmur in Shabbos Dab Payalef, a bit earlier than that, by the Gabi Rechi and Rav. This is the opinion of the Saifa Tirmeh and Hechas Etzisruel. This is the opinion of the Rash Mishantz in Mesechas Chale, so Paschas the Rosh, Echem Dab Paches, and Pariches. And many Rishonim hold this opinion. Shmuel Vital goes as far as to say that in his opinion, even Abaye Viruva, that the later generations of him also had it. Which is why we find that Abaye Viruva still were able to use Saifa Yetzir because they were not Tamai Maisim. And the Chidu, in Chazadovet on Tesefta in Puru, says that he believes, there's no proof of it, that Ariya Kudish also had Afal Pura Adime, which is how he's able to reveal such deep secrets of Torah through the fact that he was Tohar without Temes Mes. And the opinion of the Chidu that it survives till today fits what we know that the Mendel Shklov, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, said about himself that when he came to Yerushalayim, he was the Miyasid of the Ashkenazi Yishuv in Yerushalayim. It was the secret was entrusted to him where the Afar Pura lies, and he could point and say it is there and there. If necessary, he could show where the Afar Pura is.
The Palestinians didn't destroy it.
Well, if it survived the Romans and the Persians, perhaps it survived the Palestinians too. And the truth is that even a little bit of Afar Pura Adim, it would be enough to entire the whole of Klal Yisrael today. And I can prove it. Because the Rambam tells us that the first Pura was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, second by Ezra. So the first Pura Adim lasted for more than 900 years. How is that possible? One Pura Adim. Let's keep in mind that in those days, every turn you had to be mitzvah yourself. You couldn't go to Shlesher Gurim, you couldn't be Makav Kabunis. But the Torah says that in Sefri, in Chikas, in this week's Parsha, the Gemur dashes in the Pusik, Shelo Yemayet Ba'aitzim. More importantly, the Gemur says, do add Aitzim in the service of Puru, La Harbless Esu Eifer, to create a greater volume of Eifer. And all that goes into the Cheshbon, that all can be used for Puru Adim. But that's not enough. The Rambam Paschas and Parak tests that you can have a Chuldas Gedoy Lemoyed B'mayim, which so long as you have a fire Tzufan Al Gabo, you see the offer on top of it floating, all of it becomes Ma'achatos. So imagine today, with a bit of planning and proper construction, you can have a tanker of water with a little bit of a Afar Puri spread on top of it, and it all becomes admissible to use as a Afar Puri Adime. But this is not Nishgenik, because the Parakit Ba'ad Ramam says that even a mashi of water touching any part of the body is also good enough. And he goes further in Parakit, prior to that, and he says that one spritz is enough for 100 people. So you can see quite clearly that a very small amount can be stretched to use in a tremendous amount of people. So it can very well be that the remaining amount of Afar that is existing even in this world is enough for what we need to be metayek like this world.
But do they need so many later?
Oh, so as to why they needed so many Pura Adimas in Bayis Shani, the ratio seems to be completely inconsistent. We have one for 900 years, 8 over a period of about 350 years. This goes out of the goal of our discussion, but I'll just point and say that it has to do with changes to Tahara B'Yisrael, the Semirimis Megmur Shabbos, the Bayis Shani parted to Tahara B'Yisrael, the Chimris became Gag al Gag, because they etchil of the Tahara. This is also obvious from the many Mikvos in Yisrael, which are inconsistent with the amount of people that live there. But Me'ikri Adin, that would definitely be enough. However, all these 3 points, I think, can be answered quite easily. We said that you cannot be make a Pura Adima because we don't have a Far Puru to be Metayer, the Soyrif, so you can do the next one. But this has happened before in history. There's a Mishnah in Pura, in Paragum Mishnah Bais. The Mishnah says that you can raise small children on a hallowed Arak, where their mothers come when they expect them, And the children are born there, they are raised there, and betahara they can make the pora aduma. So the mission seems to be, it seems to be quite an ambitious project for the sake of raising children betahara. Says it this after. Masim aylin asik shulim in agoyle. This is not theoretical, it actually happened. Rabbi Yehuda says when Yehuda came back from Gulas Bavel, they were not tour, so they had to create a generation of children who were tour so they can be asik and afapuru. Reb Shimon is chaylik on him. He said that some of our poor survived from Gulas Bavel and they brought it back with them. But we have a mahalach, a kapunim lebedi rebide, that how we can create a fapur adima without the coins. We can break out from the cycle by at least theoretically, and we'll touch upon the second how practical it is by creating it. So there's nothing which at least in theory stops us to make a pur adima.
Sorry, didn't you say earlier that in addition to the fact that the coin never became tomei, you had to be mazeim with afapura.
Right, so let's say for what I said was that the coin hamaze, the coin who's maze, that's called Reuven is the old coin, that's his job to be maze on all the people who want to be entire. Shimon is the new coin to be osik. We have to pick such a Reuven who has never been tum in his life to be metire the person to be misasik. But this is all because the misasik is becheskas tum. When you have the children, they don't need hazu at all because they are turf to begin with. So again, when a person is becheskas tumer, you have to be matayrim. Says the Rambam, not only have to be matayrim, but a person who's matayrim should be a person who's pure from birth. When the person being mesa'asik is pure from birth, he doesn't require hazuah b'chlal. This is mefarish in the Rambam. We said that the Rambam says that Mashiach will be the one doing it. And therefore, it seems to indicate that prior to that, we shouldn't be mesa'asik and pure. It is said that the Balat Chaylis, when he finished with Chaylis, put his sights on pure adime. But he refrained because he saw this Rambam. But I think that the Balat Chaylis, after he finished being Oisek and the Oisek Chaylis, he wanted to continue now with making the Pura Adima to be Mitarak Lal Yisroel. But he refrained from doing so because he saw the Rambam says this, it belongs to Melech HaMashiach, so he stepped back. But I think, because when the Rambam holds that something is inapplicable with Zman Azeh, he has many ways of telling us about it. I'll tell you where the Rambam holds for various reasons, that it is impossible to construct the Ura, the Aren Habris, Bizman Azeh. It's impossible to do it. So what does the Rambam do about it? He doesn't mention it. Nish ayin vart. You could look at the Rambam from Dashke to Dashke, you won't find mentioning any halachos. You'll find halachos of the Menorah or the Bas HaMikdash, but nothing about the Aren Habris. And the reasons why the Rambam holds so are for a different discussion. Oh, but this is what he does. Here the Rambam writes 15 prokem in great detail how to make a Pura Adime. So I don't think it's consistent to say that the Rambam holds it is impossible to do. Today is the Yutzat of our Rebbe, the Kozim of the Rebbe Zechon Leruchav, Zechon Tzadik Leruchav, the 24th Yutzat. So the Kozim of the Rebbe, when she was the Reyatzev, Chalik Ches, Chalik Hashem Mishpat, Esim Kif Kuf Aleph, says, perhaps we can't explain the Rambam. We said earlier that theoretically, we can gather children in the Tahir, and they can do the Tahalich of the Afar Pur. But says the Rebbe, hold on a minute, but it is impossible that this is the plan that the Rebbe expects from us. Mashiach comes now. He's outside. We're all going to Yerushalayim. We need a chapul. So no. Can we find some mommies who are waiting for some babies? Okay. Let's spend 2 years hollowing out Iraq. Then let's put these mothers in this place. We'll build a chayde. They need to be 13 years old by the way. So we're going to wait 13 years until these children grow up at Tahara. We have psychologists going in to make sure that they're going back in isolation, that they're normal. We plan a path how they're going to go. We have to destroy some houses and build kippin so they can go there. Find a wide enough axe which is broad enough. 15 years later, Claudius was twiddling their fingers. What's going on with the project? We're ready. Let's go bring kabunis. Yes, theoretically it's possible, but this couldn't be the plan. Says the Kozim Ruv, so clearly the Rambam found, even though it doesn't say anywhere in Shas, that the Pura Adima belongs to Mashiach. He has to sort it out. Whether he will reveal some of the Afar Pura which is hidden, or whether they will be able to point out to say this person we know was never been a Tama Bechlal, but it's something which belongs to the Melech HaMashiach. It cannot be upon us, because whilst there are some Halchen, it's not Shaykh for us to do. Correct. But certain things we cannot do. You cannot be Makav. Many Kabbalists, if you want to, not yourself, you don't have to be no Chatas, but if I have to bring a Chatas, that doesn't help. So you can bring Pesach. Yeah, but a person Chodid Bechas is over in the love. He has to do something about it. What is he going to do? Kudus, the shayim. So clearly, it's not possible that the Avodah Shemitah will wait. That all the oilers and the chaturus are going to wait. So we see it is possible to do in theory, and therefore, even if not practically, so therefore the question of the color becomes all the more important. What was the color of the Pura Aduma? That is the first step. Which Pura do we look for? So all the pictures your children will bring home today from school, your grandchildren, you'll see a Pura Adime in the color somewhere between blood red and the redness of a ripe tomato. We shall see. Maybe. Incidentally, I'm not so sure, but we'll see. But this is very difficult to accept. Have you ever seen such a blood red cow in your life? Now you may say that that is why the Pura Adima only 9 were done. It's a genetic fluke. It takes hundreds of years to find the correct one. But even if you say so, I don't think that Chazal is consistent with Chazal tell us. Because the Gemara says now that there are techniques to develop the color of the Pura Adima. Frey the Gemara, oy bazoi. Amai demei yikura, why is it so expensive? Says the Gemara, hoil v'shtai sa'aris postles ba. Because 2 sa'aris are postles. So the Gemara seems to say, the color in itself, it is not the rarity. The rarity is, how do you get a cow which has the color but doesn't have the 2 sa'aris? And even if we doichet this the Gemara, there are many makoris in Chazal, and I will mention only a few of them in the context of this discussion, where it's mashma that the color red cannot be only the Uden cannot be what we call an English red. The Gemara says in Bukhari's Davov, about Sisson, says Rashi, Stam Susim Adumim. Your standard horse is red. I know we don't grow on farms, but this much I think we do know, that standard color for horses is not what we call red. The Gemara says, Nimi Dafim Tes, Ebchanina says, if somebody was would to be bitten by a white mule, this is a Makkah Sha'ayna Refia. Says the Gemara, we do see that this happens sometimes, says the Gemara, no, that's Sumki. Sumki is the literal translation of the word Odem, but in Aramaic. Have you ever seen a red mule? Finally, the Mechilta says, on the man, Kezera Gad Alavon, Zera Gad, he says that's the shape and look of Zera Pishton. Yuchoil, said the Medish Odem, it's red like the Zera Pishton. Tamad the Melovon, this was actually white. Zera Pishton is not red. And many other eyes. But before I bring the other ones, let's start with the solution for the question and we move from there. So now, in front of you, you should have, and if you don't, 2 pages with colors. And I apologize to those who are listening in on the phone. I'll try my best to describe it as best I can. I want you to start with this page. Colors with 2 lines. Red on the right and the left-hand side. So, you see these colors. On the right-hand side is the colors the way we would call them, or as men would call them. We have red, purple, pink, orange, yellow, green, and blue. And then on the left-hand side, we have various shades. Some of them I can't even pronounce. I will try. Turquoise, sky, teal, spindrift, seafoam, flora, moss, fern. Various colors. Maybe your wife will know what these colors are. But definitely people dealing in paint or fashion, it's important for them. Different colors, different shades. But to us, the main color suffice. And everything in life is the same way. If I asked you how long the shul is from here until the end of the wall, well, it depends. If I'm asking you because I want to know how many steps to take, an answer in meters would be close enough. If I want to build a new sperm shank here, then you have to answer me in centimeters. But if I'm laying a very intricate mosaic, the answer has to be in millimeters. So the specificity of the answer relies on what we need to use it for. And colors is no different. The specificity of the colors is completely dependent on how we use it. For most of our purposes, to call green green is fine. The differences don't matter. But if we are talking about matching 2 shades and lining to a dress, it starts mattering. Now let's move on to the second page. You see 3 tablets here. In the first one, you see 320 shades, colors. This is a consistent thing used by anthropologists around the world to ask people in various countries to name these colors. And there's a very consistent response. Languages, more ancient languages, not modern or more developed languages, when they ask the individuals to name the colors, the result is the second box. Everything in this place is named generally as red, so too on the right-hand side. So to explain for those listening in, we have a color chart, 320 colors moving from infrared to ultraviolet, going through all the shades in between. the full color palette, and everything in the center is black. The upper shades of light blue and light green is they call white. Now let's be crystal clear, because this is important. They do know the differences. When they are shown the difference, they don't say this is the same. Of course it's different. But they think that it's useless or impractical to name them by different names. What does it matter? No different than if I asked you from now on to start referring to different shades of green as clover and foam, you think it's for the purposes that we use it, it's impractical and unnecessary. In those languages, they find it's impractical to refer to anything as red, black, and white. Of course, there are various shades of red in different consistencies. Most modern languages divide them as this chart. So we have blue, green, purple, yellow, brown, the lower chart. But I assure you that if you go to the local Dulux, they will find this to be extremely primitive and oversimplified. Because they'll say that actually there's so many different shades which matter. Because again, from the perspective of when they're using it, the language is not enough to cover what they're trying to say. I'm getting somewhere with this, so please bear with me.
Yeah, but excuse me, I mean, this chart that's going down from red to blue.
Yes.
Amongst all the colours, there's no other colour is brown or brown and white.
That's an excellent question. It goes a bit. White is because there's no way to point out white in a circle. White is white. And shades, indeed, we'll touch upon in a moment. Brown is very unique. We'll touch upon brown, but scientifically, brown is not a prime colour at all. It is purely a combination of yellow, red, and other shades, depending on the consistency. So, in this chart, you won't find it in this chart either. Brown is actually quite a unique color. You never see fireworks done in brown. It's impossible to create in light, only from consistent materials.
But is actually the typical color of a cow?
Correct, correct. But use it by way of example, and we'll translate it in.
Okay.
So, I think that with this Akdumah, we are now ready to understand how the Torah touches upon colors. In the Torah, you'll find only four colors mentioned. Shochol, I'll say them in Lashon Kodesh because we'll see in a moment the meaning will be different. Shochol, otherwise known as black. Udaim, otherwise known as red. Yurek, which otherwise known as green. And Lovan, which is white. Now, there are examples in the Torah. The Torah mentions Kesev, Zuav, Arguman, Talashuni, and so on. But those are names of materials, not names of colors. Of course, by way of borrowing, you can say this is the shade of gold. But it's not a color in its own. Tchilis is also a material, not a color. And I'll prove it in a moment. Everything else falls within these colors. What? How? So again, remember, we've said before that it's simply by agreement. So we decided to divide all these shades this way. Chazal divided them differently. The shochor, what we call black, consists of all the black colors, the darker shades of blue, and the darker shades of brown. Udaim, red, what we call red, consists of the darker shades of yellow, most shades of brown, and the majority of what we call red, besides the very dark red, which again is black. Lovan is white with all its shades, and yurek consists of yellow, blue, and green. Now, in addition to various rites which I'll bring, this is Mefarish Lehevye, as I'll point in a second, but we'll talk about that. So now, not only are these names different than we are aware of, but they also divide things differently. But I want you to go back to this chart, the chart where you see the division of shades of colors. And I want to ask you whether, if you look at the shades of blue, is there any reason why sea foam should be grouped together with the green and not with the blue? Is there any reason why honeydew must be part of green and not part of yellow? It is simply by agreement. Chazal's agreement was, and the way they understood it, is that the blues, the yellows, and the green belong in one category. Certain shades of brown are in the red range, and certain shades of red are in the black range. Because remember, it is not intrinsically true or not true. It is just the way that we divide it to conveniently discuss the matter.
So why didn't the Torah call it a para chum?
Does chum appear in the Torah?
Well, why doesn't it?
Yes. It's a made-up word. One time by Lavan. One time by Lavan. You look at the Targum, you'll see that it does not mean the color brown. It means, rather, Melashon, they say in Vitae, Shachum, warm. That's what it means. So the question is, you're using a modern word, and you're using it to say, why did I use it? A few weeks ago, we had such an example. We all said, the Torah mentions the Avatiach in Eden Mitzrayim, and the picture that we conjure in our mind is a wet watermelon. That's not what it means. Modern Hebrew gave us many gifts, but one thing it did do is, it gave us a set of preconceptions in our mind that we, when something in the Torah does not use the language in such a way, that we're up against a problem. So chum is a modern word. Sagon is a modern word. All these words that we have for colors. In the Torah, these are the languages.
Then what is Avatiach?
Avatiach is from the same family, but it's so closer to to an aubergine or a pumpkin. Or from the same, it grows that way. So, when Chazal or the Torah do want to differentiate colors, then they get very specific. Luvan kesida haichel, shochar kedyol, the Moshe has a nidde, yorek kakarti, the green part of what we call yorek otherwise. The Torah is very specific about that. And once we understand this, we can see that if we find the Chazal, oftentimes when they talk about colors, they talk about these four colors and nothing else. I will quickly bring a few examples. Pirkei de Blazer. The Medrash says beautifully how the Eibush created the world. Hit chelekabayt sa ofa mil kol ha'olam. And what does the Torah say? All colors. Udon, shuchoy, luvan, yurek. No more colors. All the colors that they came together. The Medrash says, to describe the rainbow. In Parshas Noach, says the Medrash. Doidi tzach v'udon. Says the Medrash. Ma keshaze, luvan, yurek, shuchoy, udon. Again, the same four colors, the four basic colors as Chazal bring them. In Kahane b'Kahane we find, Rashi oftentimes says the same thing. He asked before, Tchailis. Rashi consistently, in Parshas Terimu, in Parshas Koirach, the Gemara in Bruchos in two places, in Niyazayin, Afches, in the whole Shas, always says, Tchailis, Yurek. But the Gemara tells us that Tchailis Dom in Yerukiah, and Yerukiah is not green. But Rashi is not saying green, he's using Yurek in the Chazal language, which is the amalgamation of the various spectrum of colors, ranging from yellow to blue. Of course, in different cases, it'll mean something else. The Chazal tells us that Tchailis is the shade which is done by the Rukiah. Just in the same way as if I wanted to point out a particular shade of green, I'd say lime green. So Chazal call it Rukiah green, which is a certain shade as Chazal will call it. And I have a right from Yerushalmi. Because the Chazal say Tchailis done by the Yam, the Yam, the Rukiah, and so on. The Yerushalmi says, Tchailis done by the Asovin, grass. The grass is similar to the sky, and the sky to the sea. Can you see any comparison between the color of the grass and the sky? But let me ask you, turn again to your chart. Do you see a comparison between seafoam and honeydew? They look very different to me when I compare them. And yet, we've all agreed that this is all part of the same color green, because clearly we have to put the line somewhere. So if Chazal considered the yellows to the blues to be one color, it's obvious to me that they saw that green and blue are part of the same family.
In all of the context, we accept that Odom means what we call red.
No, we don't. Susim Adumim. We said before. I'll bring you now further eyes.
The book by Aesop, the potash, when it says Odom.
So I will answer you.
Wasn't such a red
Odom? Odom is a range. Odom is a range. Sometimes Rashi says Lehedir.
So what colour was that potash?
We'll come to that.
Your question
is a good one. But when I tell you in a modern language, when I tell you green, without further specifying, you will not know which shade of green I'm talking about. So this problem exists with us as well. I'm just simply telling you that Chazal range of red was broader, and therefore more important to specify where it is. From context, we'll know what which case it means. Rashi says once a Shas, Udem harbe shekoinen rouge. Why is Rashi saying that? Because Rashi is aware that Udem has a very wide pronunciation. And Rashi knows in the context of that case that it's, for lack of a better word, it's the French word. He's telling you it's red, as in red, very red. But not only does that mean. So now we understand how a horse can be red, how a mouse can be red. Chazal tells us achber uchma. We find so in Zechariah in many rites, which for the shortness of time I will omit. But I'll bring one rite from Rambam to see how far it goes. Rambam says in Rashi Sages, in the Bekir and Parikid, that if the tzemer was shuchar or udem, then you can still bring it. And it doesn't refer to coloring, because it says clearly if you color it, they're not chayav b'rashis hagez. You ever saw red tzemer? Again, a shade of brown. So, according to this, I think clearly we say that the Por Aduma is one of the redder shades of brown, which indeed is not very common, but there are places in the world where you can find such a Por. However, it's very difficult to find one which is complete without any saris, because it's something whenever there's Zulia. And we have a very strong life of Sadi Gun. Because Sadi Gun was one of the first people to translate the Torah into Arabic. And the word he uses for para aduma is the word tafra, which is the word for brownish, or yellow brown. And now the word chamra, which is red, consistent with what we said. So, with this in mind, I'll leave you with one final thought. Maybe I've destroyed for you the beautiful picture of the extremely rare Pora Aduma, which is red. But we find the Chazal oftentimes, Chachamim said, you my Lord, Sisi ever say, I did something, never in my life, and there's always small actions. Chazal always tells us that great people are great by doing many small things, but consistently all the time. So I think that the example of a Pora Aduma, which is of a more ordinary color, but its beauty lies in the fact that it's consistent in that color without any changes, is a much greater miracle than having the fluke of once in a few hundred years a genetic anomaly of a Pura Adima, which is of a color which we're not used to. We will be zeichev speedily in our days to bring the zeichev bazel.